Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from TO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 22nd. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
Festy, bestie, fest. With a lot less enthusiasm than last week, Taryn. I'm good. I'm not going to lie to you or the audience. I am pretty sleepy still, but I'm here. And at least we get to talk about some feeds, right? At least feeds weren't cut for the whole weekend. So, yay.
Yes. Like many things in Big Brother, we wished upon the monkey paw. And we got feeds, but we don't want them.
Yeah. What did it cost? Everything. It cost everything, Taryn.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. It's not great. Not great what's happening here. We'll talk about it. We are here to update on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 16 in the house. And we had an eviction. We have a new HOH. And we have a new twist to talk about, which is going to be the big thing. You can see that I am currently in an undisclosed location. That is because there wasn't an episode last night. So I took the opportunity, to go do things. One of those things was to, go meet up with Tiffany from Big Brother 23. I did an interview with her, so that should be coming out hopefully sometime later today or tomorrow. So we've got something to look forward to, but that's why I'm here. Just so everyone knows who's watching along or maybe listening along, and you can tell that there's a difference in microphone. Anyway, let's get to it, Puya. We started the day, where again, the eviction was going to happen here on Thursday. Pooch still didn't know. Joseph had been told. Turner didn't know yet. We didn't see really any more, you know, telling of Turner or Pooch throughout the day. Turner says later that he found out like 5 minutes before the eviction, and Pooch, you know, I assume found out late or didn't know. Either way, it was a last minute kind of thing. But the Pooch was in fact evicted from the game.
Yeah, like they had said prior, I believe Daniel was the one that said that he wanted to tell Turner, but later that did happen. We did not see it, obviously. And it was a unanimous situation yesterday, Taryn. First unanimous vote of the season. We got first eviction of the season, rather. 12-0 for Pooch to go.
Yes. So a couple of things happened before the eviction. Joseph confessed to Indy that he is actually the strongest person in Florida.
Who knew? Indy knows now. What a great time to confess something. We're on the heels of a competition. Great.
Yes. You may have thought, okay, he's going to confess he's a lawyer. No. Strongest person in Florida. Yeah. I don't know what metric is being used for that.
Yeah, it did sound very vague, and it didn't sound like there was any like competition or something particular. Like I won this championship. It was kind of like, I'm just the strongest. Like there's, you know, they do stuff and I'm the strongest one. So
I very much doubt he won a strongman competition. He does not have the build for it. We had another confession as well. Michael and Nicole were talking. And Nicole said she wanted to be on the same page with Michael. She said that she feels like she can't be the only one that doesn't want Monty to be in control of the game. He says, I agree. Absolutely. My thing is that I just feel like I haven't had any input with this alliance, that I was just kind of brought in and they don't ask me for my opinion on anything. Like for instance, he might be imagining they don't ask me if I'm okay with bringing in some random person to replace Paloma. Nicole says, yeah, I wasn't even close to Paloma. So to be in an alliance named after her, it's a little weird. It's a little uncomfortable.
It's still a weird choice for me to have it be named after someone who has left and then bring someone in who's not connected to her in any way and expect them to feel both content in it and confident in it. It's a very, very interesting move.
Yeah. She said she never really wanted to work with Kyle or Monty, but she's always wanted to work with Michael. And she feels like they're in a good spot, that they're good in pretty much any scenario except for Turner winning HOH. As long as that doesn't happen, they're in a great spot. She just thinks they haven't really had a chance to talk on a more personal level. So she wants to tell him that, she used to be a cop. And she explains why she hid it. He thanks her for telling him and he says he won't tell anybody. It doesn't change anything for him, how he feels about her. And she lets him know that she trusts him and Daniel more than anyone else in the house.
And they're the only two that know, correct? I believe the only two people that she's told
at this time. Yes. That we have seen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have no reason to see. Yeah. I don't think Michael is telling anybody. I feel like he's not really going to use that.
It doesn't behoove him to tell anybody. Like, it's not going to be like, unless he really needs to like sink her when she's maybe on the block, maybe this week or something like that could be maybe useful, but, let's see. That was pretty much what happened before the feeds went down for the eviction. As we said, when the feeds did go down for the eviction, what we've been able to piece together from after the feeds coming back up is that Turner found out last minute that Pooch was going home. He changed his vote to vote Pooch out, and Pooch left in a unanimous decision. And then they competed in an HOH. And the winner of the HOH is Turner.
That's right. Turner has won the HOH. I believe it was a ready, set, go type situation is what we've heard potentially here.
It was some kind of, there were false starts involved there. It was, it lasted a little while and people dropped like one by one. Seems like something along those lines.
Yes. And Festival is officially underway.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's talk about this. So the house has been divided into pairs. The house guests were allowed to choose who their pair was, or is, as they were eliminated from the competition. With that in mind, the pairs that we ended up with are Turner and Jasmine. Jasmine was not chosen and thus by default landed with Turner as the HOH, who was the last person to be eliminated from the competition because he wasn't eliminated from the competition. Nicole and Taylor are a pair. Amira and Terrence, Michael and Brittany, Daniel and Kyle, Monty and Joseph, and Indy and Alyssa are the pairs here. So how this is going to work is that only one pair can go on the block at a time. So basically, you like as the HOH, you nominate a pair together. Those two people will go up on the block, and they must go up on the block together, and they can only be up on the block against each other, because if one of them wins the veto, just lost Booyah, if one of them wins the veto, then they both come off the block. So like when Puya just disappeared from the stream for a second, that was him winning the veto. And that would mean that I am also now getting to come off the stream and not having to talk about this dumb twist. And a different duo of podcasters has to come on and be this live feed update. That's basically how it works. So we also learned that this twist will likely last at least around 3 weeks. It's not just a 1 week deal. That they're speculating, at least, that they were told that it's going to last more than 1 week, at least. And they're speculating 3 weeks because that's, you know, jury starts at 11 likely. And so 3 weeks until jury kind of makes some sense. And pretty much immediately, because of course, Pozpack recognized and discussed on the feeds that this is a massive advantage for them, because what they were able to do, if you didn't notice in these pairs, is that they were able to each pick one person who was not in the Pozpack alliance, which guarantees that the Pozpack alliance cannot be put up on the block against each other. Which means they will theoretically always have the numbers to save one of their members if they're put up on the block. A lot of people have been pointing out that this is basically Tiffany's master plan. It was like the Big Brother twist producers were like, hey, can we copy Tiffany's master plan from last season? And then Allison Grodner was like, Yeah, sure. Just don't make it obvious. And they're like, all right, bestie time. Because how, you know, the plan that Tiffany came up with, that, you know, that the brigade kind of, you know, patented, so to speak, was that you get a parachute, you get a pair, you get somebody outside of the alliance that you'll be put up on the block with so that you and the majority can vote that person out. That's the plan. It makes the game easy. It makes it boring. And the producers decided, let's make it in twist form. So the discussion happens. They're saying, this is great. We're guaranteed numbers. It's more important than ever that we stick together, that we need to stick together, because we can game this system. We basically just got 3 weeks guaranteed if we stick together, because not only is it gameable, but it provides a lot of incentive for alliances that may have otherwise taken shots at one another to go, hold on, ceasefire, let's take a quick pause and take the easy route here, because that's a much better way forward. If we can game something, then yeah, sure, we'll work together even though we don't like each other very much and we're worried about each other. There's a lot of incentive there to work with. And just the twist in general is that if you break it down to its core components, you just basically got a chance to choose who you sit next to on the block. Always, yep. For the next 3 weeks, you get to choose. No, you can't be on the block against anybody else. Imagine that kind of power in the game. You get to choose who you go on the block with. If you go out early in the competition, you get to choose. And primarily, if you're in the majority, that's when it matters the most. And you can't possibly be on the block against anybody else. It's an atrocious twist. I just season after season, they somehow manage to come up with worse and worse ideas. And I don't understand if it's just that, like, they're that terrible at this, like they genuinely don't understand what they're doing, or if it's that they're just like really, really lazy and they really just don't like creating their show and they want it to be as easy as possible and make the game as simple and boring as possible so that it's less work. It has to be one of those two, or they're just like intentionally trying to screw with us, which seems like the least likely option, but it has to be one of those three, because it couldn't possibly be anything else. And I'm very, very tired.
Yeah, it very much gives me the second option, Taryn, where it's the easiest way for them to edit around the show. They have plenty of time. It's so obvious what's going to happen. And, you know, they can just ad lib the squirting sound effects into every little scene. Otherwise, this is brutal because ultimately we were seeing a lot of divide in this alliance. We were seeing a lot of problems brewing this alliance. It was actually making this week interesting. And there would have been universes where people that were clearly going to be set up to get voted out, that was no longer looking to be the case. A lot was changing. And now all we're going to be left with is a decision of sacrifice every week of, okay, I'll be the pawn this week. I'll do this for Postpack. And everyone's like, oh my God, yes, thank you. And it's not like we have any pairs that have any intrigue to them. Where, okay, these are two people that Postpack want out, but they're paired together. Which one is going to go? There's none of that. It's very clear cut. This is the person who's going to go here. This is the person who's going to go next week. It's and they've already mapped out like the three they want to get rid of. The only saving grace for me was, well, maybe it's just the 1 week. Maybe it's just they've been doing the fest once a week. Maybe this is 1 week. We move forward. But it sounds like based on what we've heard, they've been told that if you are the bestie of the outgoing HOH, you get to compete. And if you win HOH, your bestie is also now still safe. So the outgoing HOH could still be safe. We didn't hear anything about a re-rack where they're going to rearrange the teams or redo them. No sign of an algorithm anywhere. You know, they should have maybe taken a note from that Wednesday show at 9 p.m., but what do I know? And to say that I'm upset is an understatement because I really feel like they've stifled the momentum that was building this past week with the Pooch leaving over Taylor. They really screwed the Pooch this time.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like, they spent so much time on the Wednesday night episode just dunking on Pooch over and over. What an idiot Pooch is. Literally, all he needed to do was nothing, and he would have stayed that week. He didn't need to do a thing. All he needed to do is not volunteer for the block, and he would have been fine. And here he is bragging about how smart he is after completely trashing his own game. And yet, the same people that are putting that episode together are doing the exact same thing to their own game, their own show. All they need to do is nothing. Don't touch it. You're fine. Stop volunteering for the block by doing these dumb twists and screwing everything up. You're literally, you are Pooch. Pooch is you. All right? Stop it.
You've become what you dunked on. Yes. And that's the thing. We have years of evidence now with how twists stifle gameplay. That first week should have been evidence enough because of this whole the backstage, something's going to happen with the backstage. No one wanted to do anything but just like, let's just go with the easy route. We know what we're going to do. We move on and then we'll see what happens after that. No one wanted to do anything. Last week, no twist. People are jumping around trying to flip things. A lot of people started changing the narrative, changing the plan. This is really going to just solidify Postpack. They're going to make it to jury. They're going to whittle it down and then they're going to face off. And at that point, whichever comps land in whoever's laps are going to dictate who's going to make it to the end game. It's very disheartening to say the least. And obviously I recognize if you are part of the smaller subset of audience who's listening, like, y'all are being so negative. Like, we don't know anything. It's true. It is day one of the week. Things could still be different. We still don't know legitimately how long this twist is going to last or anything. But if it does last the 3 weeks, if this does go all the way to jury, and if there's not going to be a re-racking of the besties and they still get to pick besties, I am going to be very skeptical for the next 3 weeks. You have that right.
Yeah. And like, here's the thing, like me complaining and let me tell you, let me tell you why I'm tired, because I have been on this train for a long time. And I have been the person who has consistently had to point out, like, these are dumb twists. They encourage big majority alliances. And then so many people for so long were like, why are these big alliances working so well? Why are they dominating the game? Why is the game broken? I'm like, because of the stupid twists. And people are just like, oh, Taryn's so weird about these twists. And literally last night when I was looking at social media, after the twists, I was watching everybody complain. Like I didn't even have to do anything. People everybody recognizes how bad this is, because that's how bad it's getting. It's not even me anymore. It's everybody else. And I'm just like, oh, okay. I don't even know what to do anymore. Yeah. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah, to sum it up, right? Two things to think about. This a TLDR version of this twist. It gives a majority alliance complete power to navigate easily to the jury. And it makes it so that anyone who's on the outside of that alliance has no choice but to then, instead of band together with other outsiders because they can't do that, they have to go against the other outsiders and they can't find a way in. So you're basically, if you're not part of the core alliance, your only move is to throw other people on the outside under the bus, which means either way you look at it, the majority alliance is going to be chilling. Like, they're not going to get any adversity. And the biggest thing we want in a Big Brother season or in one of these shows is adversity. We want to see a little bit of fight. We want to see a little bit of confusion, a little bit of misdirect, a little bit of deception. But this just makes it so straightforward that they don't have to do anything. You're going to be in a position where the veto competition is done versus three teams, the HOH besties, the nominated besties, the veto pick besties. And all you got to do is either put up a pawn bestie who'll remove themselves and put up a bestie that doesn't get their chip drawn because it's one chip. It's just one chip. Or you just throw it to the HOH. Like, it's there's reason behind the upsetness, the anger, trust.
Yeah. I think also there's this idea that, like, you shouldn't complain before you see how it ends up. But I think, like, the point for me, at least, is that, like, I am not being results oriented in the complaining. I'm saying that they are setting themselves up to fail this, like, because I want to be clear. There is absolutely a chance that it turns out okay. There's a chance that something that these players end up doing something that ends up working out and the audience is happy. Maybe with the current plan that we'll talk about soon, there's a flip, there's something else that happens. And like, overall, the audience will probably be like, okay, still don't love the twist, but it kind of turned out okay. And then everything will be fine. I'm hoping for that outcome. That would be fantastic. But the point of talking about it now and later after the fact is that this is one more thing in a long line of things where they are consistently setting themselves up to fail. And if it does not turn out okay, which it is more likely to, then we have to point at this. And it's not like, oh, a twist happened and a thing that happened, you didn't like it because your favorite got a whatever. Like, no, that's not what I am talking about. Designing a game. All right. That you want to be exciting. This is a terrible idea. I don't care how it turns out. We've seen so much evidence so far to point to that leads us to believe that this is not going to work long term. Like, this is just most of the time going to end up failing, end up making things worse. And so even if it turns out well, I'm still going to say this is an extremely dumb idea and that they should never have left the thought bubble that it spawned into when somebody came up with this idea. Just stop.
Anyway. And you might be thinking, well, guys, didn't Turner win the H? Turner's not in the post pack. Turner's not in the majority. Things could still be different. This is where we segue into the rest of the events of the night. And you might see that might not be how you think it is.
Yeah. That's what, for me at least, like, that's my complaints about, like, I'm not going to be, like I said, I'm tired. All right. I didn't want to go on this rant today. I didn't even want to talk about it at all, if I'm being honest. I will refrain probably mostly from complaining about this twist,
Taryn,
for the duration. I will make reference to it when we continue to see evidence for why it's bad. But this is the big rant that you want. I'll do like a Twitch stream where I really go into detail about all of the different ways that it sucks. Maybe we'll talk about it on the roundtable as well if you want. But let's talk about the game. Let's talk about what we do have in front of us.
All I want you to confess to, Taryn, is where is your bullhorn and why are you about to go to the backyard after this? Because I feel like you've it's like you've driven through the night, you've made it to a location, the bullhorn's there, and this was your rehearsal. You're ready for the real deal in like 2 hours.
I'm not going to the backyard. I'm going to the offices.
The head office. You're ready. Okay. All right.
Stop the twists.
I just picture you walking into this corporate office with a bullhorn and no one has any idea what's happening.
I know there's, look, I had this theory a while ago that there is one person whose only job it is to create the twists. And that's why we get these dumb twists, because they need to justify their own existence and their own job. I know you're out there. I know. I know what you're doing. All right? Just stop.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Turner's the HOH.
Yes, yes.
Kyle and Daniel quickly talk. Kyle picked Daniel to be his bestie, and they're pumped. They're pumped to be besties. Kyle was like, I was so worried that I screwed up my game by picking you. I'm so sorry. I didn't know if you would like how you'd react. And Daniel's like, oh no, I'm pumped. I'm excited. We haven't really had time to like talk too much game. So, I think we're both in really good spots. I think this is going to be a great duo. I think this is going to work well.
They're not wrong. This is a pretty strong duo. Given all the duo breakdowns, I feel like this is one of the ones that's going to have the most immunity throughout these weeks, and probably the least likely to end up having a put on the block situation. So Kyle and Daniel, congratulations on booking your ticket to the jury. Easy ride.
Yes. Michael and Brittany also talk. Michael says that he thinks it's a good idea for them to be together because if one of them wins the veto, they're both safe. I think that he's looking at this as a way to potentially protect Brittany if possible, but also she probably leaves over him if they stay on the block. That said, you know, we've been talking about Brittany as an anchor to Michael's game, and we could be in a situation where that becomes a physical reality.
This was a very interesting decision by Michael to pick Brittany, because ultimately, from where I'm standing, you have now won two vetoes. You've been on the block where you've won two vetoes. So you're already seen as the guy who can get the veto done, who can win the veto. So wouldn't you think that in this situation, you could very much end up on the block every week because everyone's like, oh, win the veto. But then if you don't, it's fine. We'll just get rid of Brittany. If you really wanted to protect Brittany, I feel like you shouldn't have paired up with Brittany here. But also I think he recognizes that if Brittany leaves, I don't leave. So that's fine. I can deal with that. But if his real choice was to protect her, I feel like this was not the right call for him to pair up with Brittany.
Yeah, and it's because well, theoretically, either they're always going to vote Brittany out over me, or I can't be on the block against anybody else. Like, I think that's probably part of his thought process. And so the only, it's like they have this intricate game where anybody can go up, and that's why it's dangerous to be on the block. And they made it like kiddie playtime game. Like, they made it so simple where now I said I wasn't going to complain. Who knew? Who knew? Which one of you knew that I was going to keep complaining? I know Puya knew. he can't be on the block against anybody else. So it's like, yeah. Well, the worry is that I end up on the block next to Brittany, and then she wins the veto. And now what? Well, if she wins the veto, he comes off too. Easy. So Turner and Alyssa also briefly talk. Turner lets Alyssa know he's not going to be putting her on the block. Turner feels like he has a good relationship with Alyssa. He doesn't really like Indy, but he's not going to put them up because he's not going to put Alyssa up. And we're also going to see a lot of that as well. There's a lot more talk of like speculation about the twist and all of this stuff, but you know, we also get some talk about what happened last night. Joseph and Monty talk about who Turner might target. Joseph thinks that he might go for the people that that, you know, led the charge to take out Pooch. And Monty's like, well, I think you should target Taylor. And Joseph is like, well, wait, well, I mean, why would he do? Taylor had nothing to do with the Pooch situation. He's like, so now remember, Monty, remember how excited we were? Monty and Taylor had a conversation. Monty was like, I don't want to deal with Taylor. I don't want Taylor to go yet. He had a whole thing where he's like, maybe we need to start taking big shots, swing for the fences. It seems as though for now, the temptation of, hey, I can game this system for a good 3 weeks, has taken over, and he is back on the, just target Taylor. That's so much easier.
I mean, you're in a position where you are probably going to be fine and off the block. So, and your alliance is probably going to be fine because unless you go out of your way to push other people in front, you get the easy targets. And the easy targets laid out at the moment, based on what the house has been saying, is Taylor, is Indy, is Brittany. So Taylor, he can now get rid of Taylor without really having to worry about anything or think beyond that. Whereas he was thinking beyond that because there were a lot more infinite combinations and permutations of different people ending up on the block, winning power, whatever, whatever, whatever. So again, it simplifies it and breaks it down to its, let me think of the base thing I wanted. Oh, I wanted Taylor out. I'm going to say that again. So,
yes. So Nicole talks with Alyssa, and they kind of quickly agree, okay, this is so easy. Again, they've already discussed this. The post-pack thing is so great, the way that things are set up. And Nicole, remember, Nicole just had a conversation before the eviction about how post-pack sucks. She doesn't like it. She doesn't like Monty or Kyle. But the way that they're positioned is so advantageous. Not that she's going to take a shot at the old school alliance, but yeah, let's just wipe out the outsiders. She's like, we can take out Taylor this week, Brittany next week, Turner when we get the chance. Like, it's so easy.
It's, to me, this is what it's looking like it's going to be. We're going to enter the jury phase with post-pack intact, and if they can help it, with old school intact. And then it's just going to be the ones that are in both Venn diagrams kind of deciding which direction they want to head. And again, that'll depend on who wins power and how it goes down there. That's really what you're looking at right now and what most likely will happen right now.
The people in power, the people currently in power in the game, should not be delighted at your twist. Like, oh, this is amazing. This is so good for us. Oh, this makes it so much easier. Thank you, Big Brother.
And, you know, I've said this personally, that this is not a cast of very smart, like, game knowledge players. They figured it out so quickly. So what does that tell you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It tells you that Pooch is designing the game. Alyssa and Indy volunteer to be have-nots. They're not super pleased about it, though, but I believe they were the only pair or one of the only pairs that because only one pair was going to be a have-not, and most pairs had at least one person in the pair who had already been I have not. And so I kind of fell onto Alyssa and Indy. Indy being a have not should be an interesting week.
She's already, she wasn't happy the minute, but maybe like 15 minutes into them getting it. What's interesting is that Turner came out, read the card or whatever, but then I'm pretty sure on the card it said that my bestie is picking. So then the buck got passed to Jasmine completely to pick. And Jasmine really wanted to give it to Taylor, but ultimately couldn't do that because if you pick Taylor, you're picking Nicole, who was already just on slop. So you're not going to do that. And then Alyssa volunteered herself in Indy. And initially, Indy laughed about it, but very clearly, Indy is not going to be living this week.
Yeah, it's going to be. And yeah, the card said, and afterward, Turner was like, I'm so glad I didn't have to do that. I'm so glad they passed it on to you. But yeah, Jasmine was like, okay, who do I pick? I don't know what to do. I'm just trying to think. And I definitely love the interpretation that she spent that entire time trying to figure out how to justify giving it to Tim.
Yeah, that's really what was happening. It's like, how can I get away with this?
Turner and Joseph talk about the vote flipping. Joseph says that he doesn't think Taylor had anything to do with it. He doesn't think that that was, you know, the case and that they shouldn't really be looking at Taylor. She's not really a threat. They talk about, so instead they talk about like, okay, so the thing that caused this probably, right, is Oasis leaking. Now, remember we talked about this, yesterday, I think, that Alyssa leaked to Pooch that Oasis was something that everybody knew about and thought was dumb. And then Pooch went around thinking, who leaked it? Who flipped? And him and Turner both thought, Joseph, he's the one that did it. Joseph denied it. They talked about how Pooch thought it was Joseph and he didn't really believe him when he said that it wasn't. Joseph swears it was not me. So Joseph, unfortunately, does not have a lot of push to be like, it was not me. And also, it was definitely not Taylor. And so despite him saying it wasn't Taylor, like there's just not much there.
Yeah. Once Joseph is part of the prime suspects list, all he can do is actively try and repair the relationship by just clearing his own name. And this is Joseph we're talking about. So he has not shown that he's going to go beyond that to push the game or try and like weave the game wherever he wants it to go. So I think really once that happened, it was more so just make sure you're safe with Turner, patch things up, and that's it. Because outside of that conversation, I really think he's just went about it passively for the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm. So Nicole is going to talk to Jasmine and they're going to talk about what they want to get Turner to do, essentially. And so what I'm going to do is not talk about their conversation. I'm going to talk about Jasmine's conversation with Turner, but just know that what Jasmine pitches to Turner was discussed with Nicole prior. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to talk about it twice. They also do talk about like maybe the surviving partner will get some kind of power, but this is the main conversation. Jasmine's going to talk to Turner after the HOH room reveal. And, they're in a duo now. They're besties. And so she's like, we're linked for life. He's like, yeah, we're going to be having to work together. So I guess let's discuss what I should do. And she kind of leads off with, well, let me tell you, because Taylor was just in the room. I think like Taylor like went in for a hug or something. She's like, oh, I really hate her. So much. I'm so frustrated, Turner, because she took over my HOH last week, just completely. She just like completely took over my HOH. So man, when she just came to try and give me a hug, I'm so upset right now. I'm sorry. I'm not like 100% right now, but it's just, she really gets to me. Turner's like, yeah, I'm just confused because I didn't know about this whole flip until just like 5 minutes before. I guess some of the guys heard about some of the girls flipping and I just like, what girls? Like what happened? Like who was flipping? And it's just like Turner says, from my perspective, like I'm really skeptical of Brittany because Brittany told me that she was voting to keep Pooch. We had like a whole conversation. Like she told me to my face multiple times, like, yeah, I'm with you. I'm keeping Pooch. And then she turned around and completely voted him out. Didn't even say anything to me about it. And it's like, Brittany, of course, still doing the most. I still have no idea why she entertained that like alliance talk with Pooch and Turner. But so Turner's mad at Brittany, but Jasmine says, look, Turner, I genuinely think it was Taylor that flipped this vote. I think she's the one that did it. Turner's like, what? Like, what do you mean? How would Taylor have flipped the vote? She was on the block. How would she have done it? She says, well, let me tell you, I think that Taylor overheard Pooch talking about the Oasis Alliance. And that's why, because she was the one that spread the whole thing. And she just completely derailed my HOH by doing this and spreading this Oasis stuff and got everyone worried. And then it just snowballed into this vote that was unanimous. And it's like, if it had been a tie, totally different story, obviously, right? I got what to say of Pooch, but like, Taylor screwed it up. And it's just so frustrating. I just hate her so much. And Turner's like, oh yeah, man. It was like putting a dog down, voting Pooch out.
See what you did there, Turner. Not on purpose, but I see.
He was my guy. He was my guy. Use your dog.
It's wild to me that Turner's sitting there and taking all of this in, knowing full well that the person who volunteered himself onto the block last week was Pooch, and the person who tried to get the HOH's control was Pooch, and here's Jasmine putting it on Taylor, the person who they were going to vote out week one, if not for Paloma's exit, the person who they were still looking at targeting week two, who then survived, who then suddenly now is being brought up. The writing's on the wall. Like, Turner, I really thought after the conversation with Joseph, I was sitting at my computer thinking, give him the HOH room because I think he's going to go on a one-on-one interrogation to figure all of this out. Jasmine got in his ear and immediately it felt like, nope, he took it hook, line, and sinker. It's over. This is what he's now following. And it is wild to say because I can't even sit there and be like, yeah, well done, Jasmine. That was good game. That was good. Because I just feel like this is just Jasmine, who already doesn't like Taylor, getting to say what she wants, and it's just working out for her. Like, it's not really like she's gaming the system, but Turner, the bar was so low already. couldn't clear that.
We did. Now, I will say, you know, we did talk about this last week, that the kind of one redeeming factor in Jasmine's game is that she is a good liar, and she sells this, I mean, well enough. I mean, this isn't even like lying, so to speak, in the sense that I think Jasmine could be good at lying, because it's not like she's being accused of having flipped the vote. She's just selling the story. And I think I think one of the reasons she's good at lying is because she's very good at just like hyping up her own stories in her own mind, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think just to some degree, she believes this because she believes that everything is Taylor's fault.
Mm-hmm. And that makes a very good liar, is if you buy what you are selling already, you can sell it way better.
Thing. It's mm-hmm. not a lie if you believe it's true.
Exactly.
She says, look, here's the thing. I would have, you know, it's like Taylor, she flipped this vote. She sent Pooch out. It's all her fault. And this twist just gifted you this amazing opportunity. It's going to be so much easier now to take her out. And Turner's like, well, yeah, but like, I don't want to piss Nicole off. And she's like, don't worry about Nicole. Nicole knew what she was doing in picking Taylor. She was taking one for the team. She understands that she's going to have to go up on the block, which is true. Yeah, they talked about it. And he's like, well, I wouldn't want Nicole to go home. I wouldn't want Nicole to go home. Not when Taylor is the one that got Pooch out and Nicole is my friend, innocent, definitely had nothing to do with it. That would be terrible for me if Nicole went home. And she's hot. Everybody hates Taylor. Don't worry about it. We're fine. She says, but here, let me give you a little bit more security. What if, and again, this was discussed with Nicole prior. What if we put Michael and Brittany up first, right? Put Michael and Brittany up, then if noms end up staying the same, whatever. Send Britney home. She lied to you too. Everybody doesn't like Britney. Easy. Send Britney home. But they win the veto. Michael wins, Britney wins, whatever. They come down, put up Nicole and Taylor. Taylor gets backdoored. Her worst fear. And we send Taylor home. And Turner thinks about it. Goes, facts.
Pack it up, folks. That's it. That's the update. Yeah, so honestly, one thing we haven't really said yet is that Nicole is really milking this. I was the sacrificial lamb that took one for the team and took Taylor. And everyone's giving her praise for it. She is definitely benefiting from being the one to sit with Taylor. So from on one side, you know, you're looking at it. Well, why would you want to end up on the block? She's going to be completely fine against Taylor. Just look at the way the house is talking about Taylor 3 weeks in. She's living rent free in everybody's head. Okay. The second thing here is that, again, Michael and Britney now, to me, will become the first person put on the block at the initial nom ceremony until they are their eviction night. Because the way they're looking at it, it's one veto chip, right? I'm assuming it's going to be, all right, and it is Taylor and Nicole are the ones competing in this. So they have a what? One HOH, seven pairs, one HOH, one on the block, at least five pairs.
One out of five.
20% chance that the targets team gets picked to play. So they're going to keep doing that until Brittany and Michael are on the block come eviction is what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that I don't know how the competition will play out, if it will be like individuals playing or them playing as a team. But like either way, Nicole can just try and prevent Taylor from winning. Everybody can try to prevent Taylor from winning if she is playing. If Nicole is involved in playing with Taylor, like, it's not like, oh, 1 in 5 chance. Great. Now she's got like a 1 in 3 chance of staying, because if Nicole wins, she's fine. Like, Nicole's not going to be trying to win probably. She should be trying to win, but everybody would be like, why are you trying to save Taylor, if she does? So, it's not looking great is kind of the takeaway here.
Well, and the thing is, because of the nature of this twist, Nicole is convinced that, we don't have actual confirmation that anything was really said, or at least I don't think so, but Nicole is convinced that the first one to lose their bestie will get some kind of secret power. So that is another thing here where even if Nicole was thinking, you know what, if I sit next to Taylor, Taylor goes, my life is fine, but I could work with Taylor. Let me try and keep us off the block if I can help it. That's not even happening here, because I think Nicole wants to be the one to be the recipient of whatever this power could be, or if it exists, could be. So that's going to also play into this.
Yeah, and I would say that's dumb. Why would they only make it easier for the majority? Like, give the majority a power when they stay? Like, that's so much worse. Why would they? Oh, yeah. No, she's actually probably onto something. I can understand why she would think that, considering the gift she was just given with this twist. She's expecting more gifts.
Future applicants, you know how you think, oh, I should get in a big alliance because that's good for my game, because the alliance will watch out for me? Production will also watch out for you. The twists will watch out for you. There's nothing but benefits. So if you get in that house, Find the 8-person alliance. Get yourself involved, because it could give you a long lasting trip, and also you might get some prizes some perks along the way, some goodie bags in the form of powers, maybe, but most likely.
Yeah. He talks about some of the other duos again. He mentions Indy and Alyssa. He's not a fan of Indy, but he doesn't want to put them up because he likes Alyssa. He also says he's not really close to Amira, and he'd consider putting her up, but she's with Terrence and he likes Terrence, so he doesn't want to put them up. Even if he wasn't convinced by Jasmine to do this, like, he doesn't really have that many other options in terms of like who he wants to put up. He can't like take a shot at, because remember, he was talking to Pooch for weeks, for the 2 weeks, about taking a shot at Amira. He would love to take a shot at Amira, but she would have to go up next to Terrence. And he feels like Terrence is one of his numbers. And he also feels like Terrence would probably just go home then. Like, he can't take a shot that he may otherwise want to. He has to, like, from Turner's point of view, it makes sense to go with the House consensus because he doesn't have control over his own nominations. So he has to listen to what the House wants him to do. And from the rest of the House, we've already talked about it, they have a lot of incentive to do that as well. So
for nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So that's pretty much it. He's going to tell Daniel and Kyle, and then later, all the guys are going to get up there, Monty and Joseph, and he's going to say, well, obviously, I'm thinking of targeting Taylor. And so the plan is probably Michael and Brittany up first, then backdoor Taylor. If the backdoor doesn't go through for whatever reason, we send out Brittany. Pretty easy. Daniel loves the plan. He's super into it. He talks about all the reasons why it makes so much sense. He talks about how annoying Taylor is. They all kind of talk about how annoying Taylor is, how they'll send Taylor home, and, you know, it'll be all fine and dandy.
Yeah. So if you, wanted more week one, Big Brother 24, congratulations. You have achieved week one, Big Brother 24. At least that's how the energy last night was. And that's how it's going to be until we see who wins this veto, which also, if there is a House Guest Choice chip, there is no world that Nicole and Taylor get picked to participate in that. So really, their only bank here is, or Taylor's only bank here, is that they get randomly picked out with the chip. It is not a, you have to work with your duo to win the veto. And it's more your individual, but if you win the veto, you use it on your duo. And Taylor wins it. And if Taylor wins it, I could see Taylor trying to get it used on Michael and Brittany, but also I don't know if she gets the sole pick because she would have won the veto, or if the bestie has to also agree on it. That could be some intrigue if that was a specific scenario to happen, but that's more fan fiction at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I would say at this point, if this plan goes through, which it seems like it might, because I think the only resistance we could have hoped for is some of these guys resisting, Kyle and Monty in particular, who mm-hmm. I imagine would have hoped that, because again, they were talking about taking a big swing. They were talking about pulling in Brittany and Taylor instead of them being the targets this week. But I think probably at this point, they've been convinced like, okay, well, this is just such a good deal. It's such a good offer by production. It's basic. Production just bribed us into staying with our alliance. It's a difficult offer to turn down for them right now. So there's not a lot of incentive to push back. And they haven't yet. And I don't know if they will. So this plan likely will go through. And if it does, there are a couple of outs for us, a couple of potential ways that this could still be interesting. One is what you talked about. Taylor wins this veto. She has to get picked and win. And then Taylor uses the veto on Michael and Brittany. That leaves Turner in a situation where he has to nominate either Amira and Terrence, Daniel and Kyle, Monty and Joseph, or Indy and Alyssa. He's not nominating Monty and Joseph. He's not nominating Daniel and Kyle. He already told Alyssa and Indy he's not nominating them, but he might consider it. But he did talk about Amira and Terrence. So we could see Amira and Terrence go on the block at that point. And then you probably just see the House sacrifice Terrence, but maybe there's some talk about, you know, taking the shot at Amira, something like that. You also have the possibility of Michael and Brittany staying on the block. The whole week goes through, they end up not coming off the block. And now the vote is between Michael and Brittany. A lot of people want Brittany out. Yes. But with Michael on the block post-veto against Brittany, who is probably not forming well in competitions, maybe there's a thought to take Michael out. Maybe the House flips on him. Not super likely. I think the most likely intrigue that we get this week, or could get this week, and it's still not that likely, but most likely, would be that the backdoor does go through. Taylor and Nicole end up on the block together post-veto. Now, there's a chance that the vote could flip from Taylor to Nicole. It would require, unfortunately, a lot to make that happen at this point. It would have to be pretty much all the guys, Monty, Joseph, Monty, Joseph, Kyle. And they would be like the three most locked in people to maybe take this shot. Then you'd also have to get Michael and Brittany to make five. You need six. Kyle would then probably also have to pull Alyssa, which would probably be a really tough pull considering she's pretty locked in with them. She's in the old school alliance. There's not a lot of incentive for her to do that. She's not working with Taylor. She wants Taylor gone. It would be a lot. It'd be a lot to do that. Maybe you could also try to pull like Indy or something like that, but that would also be, I think, kind of difficult, because Indy is, you know, pretty like wanting to work with the women for the most part, even though she is also kind of wanting to work with the guys. But it's possible that you could get six votes, squeeze out six votes, maybe seven if you get Alyssa and Indy or something along those lines. But it's tough and it requires a lot, and it's not super likely, in my opinion, because of just how the makeup of these pairs have worked out and all of the incentives in place to keep all of these people from doing these things. So that's what we can hope for right now, I think, for the most part. But the most likely outcome at this point is probably Brittany or Taylor being sent out the door this week.
Yeah, like Taryn said, it's possible. But we're talking about 9.5 times out of 10, it's going to be Brittany or Taylor. And then that half the time is the scenarios that Taryn just put out there for us to ponder over, fantasize over, think about if we do not want a very straightforward result of the eviction Friday morning when the eviction is the upcoming Thursday.
Yeah. And that's the thing too about this twist, which is that you could theoretically see like a new house dynamic emerge from Nicole and Taylor. Like Nicole and Taylor being forced on the block is unfortunate in the first place, because if they weren't forced on the block, if Turner had his pick of nominations, then I could definitely see Kyle and Monty and Joseph and maybe even Michael, who knows, going to him and being like, Nicole and Amira. And maybe some people wouldn't want that. I think some people don't want to see one of them go yet, but it would certainly be a big move and it would be exciting and it would shift the house in a lot of interesting directions if they even took that shot. Maybe it fails, who knows? But I think they would be pushing for something like that. But Turner can't do that. So even if they wanted to, they can't do it. So there's less incentive for them to push it in the first place. So even if Turner wanted Nicole or Amira to leave, he can't put them both on the block. He has to put Amira and Terrence or Nicole and Taylor. So he has to lose one of his votes to get Nicole out if he wants Nicole out by putting Taylor up. That's unfortunate to begin with. And then on top of that, now it's Nicole and Taylor on the block. And in order for Nicole to leave and the house to flip and get into this new position where there's a new group who's coming together to take Nicole out, the house would need to reposition. We talk about structure a lot because structure is important. And in order to change the dynamic of the house, you need to change how it's structured. But Big Brother has locked the structure in place with these duos. If these six people want to come together to vote out Nicole, that's great for that vote. But now next week, the pairs are not set up in a way to benefit them. Now, Monty and Joseph as a duo are super vulnerable because you can just throw them both up. And if they come down, Daniel and Kyle, easy, throw them up or whatever, right? Like Michael and Brittany again, like whoever came together for this vote, throw two of them up together. And then if they come down, two more of them up together, they're lined up for the slaughter here. This twist was set up for Pose Pack. And nobody else is going to be able to orchestrate it, structure it in a way that benefits them. So only Pose Pack now can benefit from this structure. And there's so much less incentive to try and change because that Pose Pack structure remains in place. And you can't get the benefits if you're in any other grouping. So you have to stick to this if you don't want to put yourself in extreme danger.
Here's what I want. Okay. If it's over and that the bestie fest twist, the pair twist will last all the way to jury next week, we're taking the besties on a trip to Vegas. Ooh, exciting. Great stuff. The besties are going to get separated with a wheel spin. You're going to find new, you know, Vegas is a place where people make new friends all the time, whatever you want the lore to be. Spin them, spin the wheels, re-rack it, because that could make things interesting. As it stands right now, I'm very much skeptical of things being interesting for a little while here. But if they do re-rack and the re-racks from here on out are random, we could have a very interesting time with this, because that could change stuff. That could make a difference. It really could.
Yeah. Look, they're clearly trying to copy the challenge with their backstage, like, elimination competition twist. And now this, like, duo thing that the challenge does all the time and is currently doing. Just take it one step. Get the algorithm. All right? Like, nobody even cares that it's not a real algorithm and that it's just the producers choosing the pairs. That is, actually, that's probably not better, because these producers would just continue to
spin a wheel. Do not make an algorithm. Spin a wheel. Give them a deck of cards to pick a person from, something.
This is what we need. All right. There are two examples of this in Big Brother history. Well, more, maybe more, but like two big examples of this in Big Brother history. One in the US and one in Canada. Recently in Canada, Big Brother Canada 9, one of the best seasons of the show. But they had an issue early on. They had this really dumb twist. They had the house split into teams. And it was really stifling gameplay. And the fans were like, this is dumb. This is stifling gameplay. And so in week two of Big Brother Canada 9, they were like, all right, teams is done. We're done with that. Never mind. That never happened. The rest of the season goes on to live in legend, right? Big Brother 17. Let's get ready for a takeover. Terrible twist. Nobody liked it. It ended before it even began, right? The rest of that season, now look, they also brought back Battle of the Block in that season, when in the season kind of like suffered for it at the time. But after that ended, season goes on to live in legend, right? We need this BB Bestie twist to go the way of the BB Takeover. We need a takeover of the BB Bestie twist. We need the fan base to come together like they never have before. And they need to make noise and get this twist to stop, because it's, I think, maybe a realistic goal. There are lots of problems with this show, but most of them will never be fixed. But they have stopped these twists before. Let's get this twist out of here.
Boo twist, boo. Everyone, let it be known, boo. In unison, in your homes right now, say it with me, boo. Yeah, that would be phenomenal, right? Because we have seen them have to change stuff up on the fly. Last week, we literally saw them use the backstage pass challenge comp as part one of the HOH. I don't think it's impossible. I feel like we're not asking them to give us a new twist. I would say, and I'm not going to use the word I want to use, but bleep house it, in that it's just a random for next week. It's, what do I have? Candle Fest. And the HOH, there's just a bunch of candles all around, and that's the HOH comp. You do the comp, maybe you get a candle as a prop. Like, you know what I mean? Just kind of like mess about with it. No one's going to bat an eye. You can dissolve the pairs, and we could get some intrigue. But do you want the intrigue, Big Brother? Is that what you want? Or do you want this smooth sailing to the end with Bose Pack? Do you want the Pose Legacy team to make it all the way? I don't know. I don't know what you're into. You're a hard person to figure out, Big Brother. You really are. I don't know what you're really into. I know what I'm not into, and you keep giving that to me more and more. So maybe we're not compatible. But I'm willing to give you another shot. Just scrap this.
They're pooch. They're doing this twist. They're screwing up their own game, and they're being like, yeah, just putting it on my resume. All right. Anything else you wanted to bring up, Puya?
Honestly, not that I can think. Turner's music choice was the 1975. He brought that up quite a bit. And if you are watching feeds and you really cannot figure out these whispers, there are toggles with BB Viewer that can give you better audio. But also there is a Google extension by the name of Volume Master that I use that can bump it up to 300-400%. It is clutch for the whispers, because I needed it yesterday, because Michael and Brittany were whispering quite a bit. And you could hear Turner, Monty, and Terrence downstairs talking, which was difficult. So this is a free plug for that extension. Go get that extension.
Yeah, they've been slacking on the audio controls lately.
Yeah.
There have been like multiple conversations where it's just like they wait like 20 minutes before they finally like up the volume on a whisper. It's like, come on, guys.
And then it's too loud because I've got it at 500% for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, because you use those extensions. You have to be careful because it will start clipping the audio if you're not careful.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what we have for you today. Stay strong, everyone. You know, we're doing our best here.
Listen, we only got each other to get through this, okay? We're in this together.
All right. Well, you can find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be live at some point tomorrow for a stream. I'm going to be playing the kitten game. I'm going to be watching the challenge that I haven't seen yet. And we'll also probably just chat more about all of the different ways that this twist sucks. So you can check that out. We'll also be doing, I believe the Q&A will be taking place tomorrow as well. Instead of today, because we had originally scheduled it for Saturday when we thought there wouldn't be anything to talk about. You can also find some Among Us videos over on YouTube. I'll have another one dropping here today. Those have been very fun, so check those out. Puya, what do you got going on?
Well, y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism for any Big Brother and other shenanigan content that I'm putting out there. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. We'll be live tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern to hang out with the community. So if you're around, come through, be a part of the community. Always appreciate it. And then 2 p.m. on Sunday, Goose Goose Duck once again with the squad. So come over there for that as well. This past week of 90 Day Fiance, I had Brian Scally on with me. It was a good time. This upcoming week, I've got Asia with me, which I'm very excited for. I was on the Claim to Fame podcast with Rob, Jenny, and Liana. Claim to Fame has been a very fun show, Taryn. You should definitely check it out. Worth the watch. So that was great. And then also this weekend, I'm going to be on Nothing But Netflix to talk about The Gray Man. Is it Gray Man? I think it's Gray Man. I keep thinking it's Gray Fox, but it's Gray Man. Yeah, I'm wondering if you talking about that with Rob and Chappelle. So I'm excited for that as well.
All right. It's going to be 5 p.m. Eastern tomorrow for the Q&A. If you are a patron or I think, yeah, if you're a patron. So you can check that out tomorrow. And as I said before, interview with Tiffany. That'll come out, when I get a chance to edit it and get it together and send it off. So I wouldn't expect it tonight. I would probably expect it at some point tomorrow, but you never know.
We'll see.
All right. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us here today. And I will see all of you next time.